Devdeep teaches at the Sri Aurobindo International Center of Education at the Ashram, where he's grown up, started, and he teaches there now. And I had a strong urge to request him to come and say something. And he chose a very interesting theme, right action. If right action begins young, we have much to look forward to.
I'll try and be brief. Lunch is around the corner. It's been a fairly long morning. Very interesting. So the reason I thought I would explore the problem of right action is because it interests me. As I grow older, I seem to know less and less of, I feel less sure of what is right action. As in my late teens, I started to develop certain frameworks or structures through which to understand the world. They helped to give relative values to things, to get a sense of what I should or should not do. But then as years have been rolling on, it seems as if these structures don't hold, and it becomes exceedingly difficult to have any one standard with which to evaluate right action. It's a very old problem. In Plato's sequel to the Apology, we find Socrates in his cell awaiting death within a few days, sentenced to death. And one of his disciples comes to him and says, "Teacher, we have arranged everything. The guard is asleep. The ship waiting outside. Come with us. This is not correct. You have been sentenced wrongly to death, and you must come with us, and I have arranged with the city-state of Thales, I think, and you can go and live there." And Socrates, being the good Greek that he was, asked his disciple to wait and said, "Convince me that this is the right thing to do, and I shall do it." And then there is a discussion on what is right in that given circumstance, and you have the origins of the idea of social contract emerging from that conversation. And this is a good 2,500 years ago with the Greeks. We have a similar problem of right action in the Mahabharata, very famous scene where Arjuna is in the middle of the battlefield with Lord Krishna. Against him, he has in front of him the hosts arrayed in battle, and he is very confused and upset and in a mood of despondency because he does not know whether it is right for him to go into battle. He is fighting with his own teachers, with his own family. And once again, Lord Krishna, in fact, the whole of the Gita is an exposition of what Lord Krishna tells Arjuna about right action. Now, the issue of right action was resolved differently through the ages. In early times, you had codes, testaments, various things which emerged to help the individual decide what to do or what not to do. And this was before the mind had generalized itself in humanity. In a certain sense, the Shastra or the code of ethics was a fossilization of customs. It was not a rational application of thought. It was a fossilization of various customs which were binding on the individual. And the individual felt that if he followed these laws and these customs, he was doing the right thing. But with the development of the mind, many of these customs were questioned, the Shastra was questioned, and you have the mental principle more actively involved. And that's when we start to get into a little bit of difficulty. Another interesting point is that the problem of right action depends on who is asking the question. The military general has a fairly clear answer. Whatever helps him to earn victory is the right thing to do. The cutthroat businessman has a clear answer. Whatever helps him to increase his profitability is the right thing to do. In the same way, the patriot, whatever helps him to achieve his goal of independence, is the right thing to do. But when we come to the yoga, it's a little more shaky ground. Because here the normal standards of action don't apply. And we are seeking to transcend these relative mental standards. So what then is right action? If you take the example of the mother of the ashram and you see some ways by which she dealt with things, it gets even more confusing, ironically. You would think that you would have some examples, but in fact, if we are looking for an external standard, it's not helpful. For example, one of the questions that many students who finished their studies in the ashram school faced was whether they should continue staying in the ashram or whether they should go out into the world. And when she was physically present, a lot of students asked her this question. And to some of them, she didn't even give a proper or clear answer. And in one such case, one of the students who had asked to put to her the question, should I leave or should I stay, she did not give an answer. And when he wrote back to her saying, why don't you tell me what I should do? She said, I don't want you to face the karmic consequences of disobeying the Lord. So it is better I don't tell you what to do. In another instance, interesting instance, there was a young boy who, he must have been in his early teens, and his mother wanted to cook something at home, some mango pickle. So she said, go and bring me some raw mangoes. So this young boy went over to the dining room of the ashram, which has a mango tree, it's still there, a fairly large mango tree. And he went, was merrily plucking away the mangoes. When the in-charge, the caretaker of the garden, very stern-looking man, rushed towards him and said, how dare you pick up the mangoes? These are for everybody, you can't just take them and go home. And he said, nothing doing, I just need 3 or 4 mangoes, I'm taking them and going, I don't care what you think. And he went off home with the mangoes. The matter was reported to the mother. Now, the mother called both of them. And when they were there, she turned to the boy and said, when he told you not to pick the mangoes, you should have listened to him and not taken them home. And then she turned to the caretaker and said, and when he asked for just a few mangoes, you should have given it to him. And the interesting end to the story is that later on she called this boy and she gave him a chit and said to all the ashram farms, whenever he wants to take any fruits, please give it to him. So, right action for whom? Is there an absolute answer to the question? I'll read out another interesting letter. This was a letter written to the person in charge at the time of allotting work and accepting inmates to the ashram. Some of you might remember him, Ravindraji. So somebody is writing to Ravindraji. R, may I draw your kind attention to the following. One gentleman from our village has come here. He is praying earnestly for staying here. He is ready to do any sort of work. He knows a little gardening and seems to be laborious. He says he is accustomed to do hard work, though he is aged. Kindly do the needful. Thanks. So Ravindraji takes this letter and sends it to the mother with his side note. He says, forwarded to the Supreme. Man is above 70. He looks very old. If mother wants to keep him, I can try him in the Mare Garden annex. Zed will lodge him. And the mother's answer. Now you would expect, since the mother is physically present, she would have a very clear yes or no answer. These are the sort of questions that we still have to deal with today, and we still don't have very clear answers. But see the mother's answer. My vision says no. My pity says let us give him a trial. My reason says in this way we shall be caught. Blessings. I wonder what he did, what Ravindraji did. which one did he, which sentence did he take? Vision, pity, reason? Okay. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that there is no external way by which we can, I think, recognize right action. Even in the Gita, when Arjuna asks Lord Krishna, is there a way by which we can recognize the yogi? Is there any quality or any characteristic? And all the characteristics that Lord Krishna lists out are all psychological and essentially unrecognizable from the outside. And in fact, he even says the yogi might be like a madman, might be like a child, might be like, in other words, not corresponding to any fixed external form of action. I give you another interesting story, incident. Again, a student wanting to go outside, but this time unsure, torn between staying in the ashram and wanting to study abroad. He was even admitted to a couple of universities in England, and he puts the question to the mother. He says, what should I do? I would like to study further. His field was, I think, geology and geography and so on. But I also want to stay in the ashram. And see the very interesting answer which the mother gives. And I think this can be an interesting approach for those of us who are still on this side of the line that divides knowledge and ignorance. So she says, before answering do or do not, I want you to make an experiment. Sit down quietly and alone and put before you two possibilities. One, the life as man leads it now. In strife, competition and ignorance, with its joys, its ambitions and its sorrows. Two, the life as we want to lead it here, without the excitement of the struggle for position and fame, but with a constant aspiration towards the growth of the consciousness and an ultimate realization of the divine life and all it means. Look quietly at the two possibilities and see which one wakes in your being a more total response. And let me know the result of your experiment, then we shall take a decision. This was written in the later years of her life. And I think that for many people, many of the persons who were writing to the mother at that time received similar ambiguous replies. It was almost as if she was preparing persons who were used to very clear and direct answers from her, preparing them to trust more their own inner sense rather than always direct the question to her. So this gentleman, or young boy at the time, does this experiment and writes to her saying that, I feel more strongly that I should stay here rather than go outside and study. And so she replies back to him. She says, remain here, you are welcome. As for learning, the most advanced and modern books can always be got, and by the inner and higher growth, there is no limit to the capacity of learning. With love and blessings. As we know, I don't want to get into the philosophy of it, but in the realms that are beyond the mind, not just the mental being, but all the realms of the mind, something that is fundamental to action, will and knowledge, are essentially one in those planes. Once this is translated through the mental frame, in fact, what George was explaining to us in the morning, these separate, and knowledge turns itself into ignorance, and will is no longer puissant and all effectuating. Essentially, then, the issue is, what is right, I think, is that which leads you back to something where the two can come closer. In other words, right action is essentially what you decide to do from the highest light available to you at that moment of time. The simple and straightforward answer is, find the psychic, discover the soul, and you will know exactly what you have to do, because your will be aligned with that of the Supreme Will. But there is a practical problem in that we strive to find the psychic, and we might have momentary experiences of it, but it is not always a constant reality for many of us. And so in that situation, what is right action? And I believe that we could frame it in this way, that whatever we decide to do from the highest light available to us with sincerity and aspiration for right action is probably the best we can do at that point of time. Even if different people arrive at different answers using the same process, ultimately, an endeavor to do this is probably what will help us to collectively progress. So we often hear, especially in present times, lots of opinions and counter opinions. Everybody says we should do this, and somebody says no, we should do that. Many of our collective issues, this is also a problem. And I want to read out to you another passage. And she says, people act according to their opinion, and that is worthless. I'm constantly receiving letters from people who want to do or do not want to do something, and they tell me, this is my opinion, this is true, that is not true. And always, more than 90 times out of 100, it is nonsense. One feels very clearly that the opposite opinion has just as much value, that it is simply a question of attitude, nothing more. And naturally, the ego's preferences are involved. You like it better like that, and so you have the opinion that it is like that. And then she continues, it would be better to have some wisdom rather than an opinion. That is, to consider all the possibilities, all the aspects of the question, then try to be as unegoistic as possible. Please note, as unegoistic as possible, and to see, for example, in the case of an action, which one can be of service to the greatest number of people, or is the least destructive, the most constructive. Even from a standpoint that is not spiritual, but merely utilitarian and selfish, it is better to act this way rather than according to one's own opinions. And to somebody else who asked her, for taking decisions, this is a disciple writing, I have found a trick. I postpone the matter and put it to you inwardly. Automatically, a solution comes. The mother writes, this is indeed the true way and ought to be used in all cases. It is always the right thing when it is done in the right spirit. And so the emphasis shifts. Now we are no longer asking ourselves what is the right action, but who we are when we are making that decision or making that action. In other words, it is not so much a question of the act, but rather a movement of consciousness. So it is the movement of consciousness which determines the rightness or otherwise of an action. In an absolute sense, right action is that which leads you closer to the realization of the divine. And if everyone were to attempt sincerely to make their decisions and voice their opinions and do what they did from this standpoint, I think we'll move faster towards our divine consummation. I think that's all I have. It's time for lunch. Thank you. Yes.
I have one question to you.
Sorry. Please sit down.
Okay,
please sit down, then we'll talk. Just 1 second. Let's close it and then we'll invite them. So hold it. No, we'll just round up like you've done with everyone. Yes, of course you can. But there is a certain manner and pattern of dealing with the this program, so please respect that. I'm glad that Devdeep has had the courage to speak on a theme which, quite frankly, most people would not touch with a pair of tongs. I'm being honest. What I like, that over the panorama that he has drawn, he has made a final... He's arrived at a final understanding of his own. Must suspect he has shared what he has understood and learned in life. And that is, it is the state of consciousness, the action which comes out of a state of action, that is what determines its rightness. And by the state of consciousness, he means one that is not bound by the ego. When you are insistent on my opinion, I'm right, and nothing else is right. But a psychic state in which, if I understand him right, you have a sense of the whole, not of myself. You see, like we do, we round off a person's speaker, you know, give him credit for it. Now, if you have a question or a comment, now please come up. That's all that I was trying to do.
Please.
No, you are welcome, please. But there is a modality of doing these things. No, please, just a moment. Nobody will hear you like this. Please. No, please sit where you are, like everyone else has done for 2 days.
Oh, only one small question.
Yes.
Because as Aurobindo said, I have read
please
that.
Sri
Aurobindo has said, many time I have read that, if the master of act is he, then where is the question of right and wrong? That's all.
No, it's good. Now let him answer.
What was the question?
And related question,
yes.
Once one heat the psychic being is eternity, is the divinity. Then all aspiration has to come from the psychic being. Then whatever aspiration comes, man will act, and that definitely that will be in the best interest of a person. Thank you.
No, please keep sitting. Please, will you pass?
Yes. I think it's absolutely right what you said. Once you have the psychic being, the consciousness of the psychic being, you will act in line with the divine will. The only problem is when you're still getting there. That's what I was trying to address today. Yeah. And surely, in the measure that we make the honest and sincere attempt, we get there someday. Yeah.
After listening to you, I'm wondering about the saying, right action arises by itself after a night of good sleep. And this worked for me. I have a difficult decision to make, and don't make it on spot. Just go with it to sleep. Next morning or 2 days later, it just comes up. And I'm wondering, that is the time when your consciousness is working to leading you to the process where you make a right decision.
So. Yeah. Of course, I think a lot of people have their own little ways by which they make certain decisions. But if we understand action in the broadest sense, important decisions, definitely. But there is also the act of existence, day to day, every moment of our lives. And that is when sometimes we don't have the luxury of waiting a long time. And it's the little reactions, the little interactions that take place, you know, at every minute. If I'm taking a class, how should I take that class? A student has a question, how should I address that question? And it's a certain attitude that if one is able to inculcate, I think helps the most. But definitely, even there, the mother herself talks about it, when you are completely stuck and you're not sure, page mark, insert a page mark into one of Aurobindo's books and you get a guidance or an indication. And surely, even a lot of, some of my students, especially those who do mathematics, they talk of this, that they go to sleep with a difficult problem and wake up in the morning and have an answer. And surely, there is a lot of truth to that.
I teach medical students,
yes.
And like your students, sometimes
yes.
They come up with very good questions, and you don't know what the right answer then is. You tell them, I'll get back to you, let me think about it, I'll get back to you tomorrow.
Mm.
And you know, the time, in that time, you think the best way you put it, and the best way to explain something. So. That's exactly what happens,
I think he had a question.
Chris.
Yeah. Thanks, Julian.
Thank you. I would like to ask, I believe that, I agree that
this idea that the right action is the sincere one. But when we see the world around us, at least I am not from Auroville, I came to visit this place, and I come from another part of the world where I do not see right actions. How do we compensate this reality, where there is more wrong actions, if we can call them, than sincere and right actions? How can we walk towards achieving right actions?
I think from the point of view of the yoga purely, we can only be concerned with ourselves. It's a very selfish statement. At the same time, from purely a perspective of the individual's growth, inner progress and growth, I don't know whether, I'm not sure how effective we are in trying to change the world or trying to change other people from acting in a manner that we might think is correct. I believe it has its place, and everybody has to do what they feel is right for them. But purely from the point of view of the spiritual aspirant, at the end, you can only concern yourself with your own individual development. And that has perhaps an effect that is not proportionate to its appearance. That is all I can really say. Because it's very difficult to explain otherwise the what we believe to be wrong happening around us. I think we can...
Anyone else?
Okay.
Yes.
Robin?
You can ask me later. No. Go ahead. I'm joking. Please.
No. You don't need to answer the question. But you were separating the external from the internal. And externally, you can't judge what is right action in some sense. But then if we look at our... I mean, for example, the example from this man over there. If you look at your private experiences, I'm not saying that we have divine insight all the time, you know, but at least I have the feeling that when I'm in a certain state of mind, then I know that what I do, I will later on say, that was nicely done. You know, I will not regret it, if you put it that. Mm. And I will see externally, I will see the consequences were good, seen externally. But then when I do it, I will not be able to know the consequences. If I would not be in the state of mind, I would still have the same two options of acting or whatever. I will not be able to see which was the best action.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
So in some sense, okay, what I'm talking about is more a very private thing. Maybe that has nothing to do with the conscious, divine consciousness.
No, in fact, it's exactly what I was trying to say.
But there is some externality to it, yes. Still.
But you see, are making the decision with what you believe to be is the highest faculty available to you,
yes,
at that point of time. Mm-hmm. With the intention of doing it, with the aspiration of doing it as properly as possible. And I think that is where we start. That is exactly what I've been trying to say. So that is a movement of consciousness.
This is just a small difference, as I understand it. I'll take this afterwards.
Yes, I think it's a kind of conversation that would go on for much longer.
Yes.
And we'll give the turn to the next person.
Yes. Not hungry?
You'll have to look this.
Anyone else?
You have to face the...
No, I don't have a question. I'm facilitating. I ask him enough questions later. I'm just passing the mic.
I'll make it very short. You know, I'm thinking about opposite, wrong actions.
Yes.
What leads to wrong actions? From my perspective, the power comes from political or financial and ego, that I can do no wrong. And so if a person can conquer these two, if you know, jump over these two hurdles, they automatically will be in a tend to lead to right actions.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I think it sums up or down. We are on the trajectory of the ego, which is self-opinionated, however good and benevolent it might seem to be, or the true psychic spiritual center. So we are grateful that Devdeep has brought this to the front, because the sooner you start on this journey, the better. Thank you very much, Devdeep.
Thank you.